Freilich and Chanukah. Okay. So the days of Chanukah were established as a holiday to remember and to give thanks for the great miracles that occurred. We know that the Hashmonaim were victorious over the Yavanim, the Greeks, despite the fact that they were obviously a much smaller group. They were weaker. They were not a well-trained army. And when they came to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, they were unable to find pure olive oil to light the menorah. And they looked and they searched until they found a tiny jug with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, which was really only enough oil to last for one day, but miraculously it lasted for eight. You know, so it would seem that the main cause of the celebration and the remembrance, you know, should be established based on this great victory and not, you know, the small jug of oil. You know, at that time, Bnei Israel faced tremendous danger. The Greeks were looking to destroy them, like we say in Al Anisim, "Kishamda Malchus Yavan Harsha Al Amcha Yisrael, Lashkicham Torasecha." When the Greeks, you know, stood up against Bnei Israel to cause us to forget our Torah, "V'lahavirah Michukei Ratonecha." You know, but then tremendous miracles were done. Masarta Giborim Biad Chalashim V'Rabim Biad Ma'atim. You gave over the strong in the hands of the weaker. You gave over the many in the hands of the few. And Hashem made this great miracle, this great salvation for Bnei Israel. You know, and this great victory not only saved Bnei Israel, but allowed for the continuity of the Jewish people and the keeping of the Torah for then and for the generations to come. And now that the Hashmonaim were in power, not only did they have a physical freedom, but a spiritual one as well. They were able to learn Torah. They were able to keep the mitzvot. You know, as one of the main things that the Greeks tried to prevent was with their gezerot was just that, keeping Shabbos, Bris Milah, Rosh Chodesh, etc. But when you look into the words of the Chazal, it seems that the holiday was established based on the miracle with the Pach Shemen and not the victory. The Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amud Bet says, "My Chanukah." Rashi says, "Al Ezenes Kavua." What is the reason that Chachamim established Chanukah? D'tanu Rabbanan b'kafei b'kislev yomi d'chanukah v'chule k'shenechmasu yavanu lehechal timu kol hashmanim shebehechal. When the Greeks entered the Hechal, they entered the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled all the oils that were there. U'k'shagavra machos beis hashmana even atchum. And when the Hashmonaim were able to overpower, you know, to win over the Greeks, they came back to the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to light the menorah, and they looked and they looked, and they only found but one jug of olive oil. But there was not enough oil in that jug to light, but for only one day. But a great miracle occurred. And they lit from that one little jug for 8 days. And because of this, you know, for the future, for the next year, they established it as a holiday, a day of Hallel, of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nes that occurred. And based on the Gemara, it seems that Chanukah was established based on the miracle of the Pach Shemen, of the jug of oil. If so, we need to understand the miracle and why it was established for generations. You know, also, why is the victory of the Hashmonaim mentioned in the Gemara kind of like a side point? And how does it fit with the tefillah of Al Nisim, which seems to stress, you know, the victory? You know, the nes of Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah, is actually mentioned in the Torah in Parshas Vizos HaBracha when Moshe blesses the Shvatim. And he says, "Lelevi Amar, Barech Hashem Chelo, Upo'al Yadav Tirtzeh, Michatz Masnaim Kamav Umsanav Minyu Kumun." Translated as, "Bless, O Hashem, his resources and favor the work of his hands, smash the loins of his foes and his enemies that they may not rise." And Rashi there comments, "Ra'a sha'asidim chashmonai ubanav lilachem im ovdei kochachavim," that Moshe saw that in the future, the Hashmonaim, the descendants of Levi, would, even though they were little, they would battle with, you know, the ovdei kochavim, the Greeks, Lefisha Yumuatim Yudbeis Bnei Chashmonai Velazar Keneged Kama Revavos Lekach Nemar Barech Hashem Chelo Po El Yadav Tirtzeh. He saw that this small group, he says that the Chashmonaim would stand against this army of the masses, and therefore he blessed them. Moshe gave them a bracha for the future, for this battle that would be very much, you know, not even for the many, the strong versus this small group of the Chashmonaim. Chazal and Bereishis Rabba say, "Shenisnabei al Malchus Yavin shehasida lipol biyad b'nei Chashmonaim." That Moshe here prophesies about the Greeks, that they would in the future fall in the hands of the Chashmonaim. And Moshe Rabbeinu blesses Sheva Levi because his descendants, the Chashmonaim, would be victorious over Yavan. You know, the Pasuk, however, speaks of Levi's enemies, right? Machal Matnaim Kamav, those who stand up against Levi. Umi Sanav Min Yikumun, the people, the enemies which stand up against Levi. But Yavan was against the whole Bnei Yisrael, right? It wasn't just a battle between Chashmonaim and Shevet Levi. So then why is Yavan specifically connected with Sheva Levi, that they are called Levi's enemies, the ones who stand up against Levi, the ones who hate Levi? And in addition, very interesting, Chazal learned from this pasuk the topic of a Kohen who was doing his avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And he's doing his avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and he finds out that he's pasul. He's not allowed to perform the avodah. Maybe he's a ben chalutza, a ben gerusha. He's the son of a divorcee or of chalitza, etc. And such a kohen is not permitted to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Yoshua, all of the karbonos that very kohen who was pasul, who was not able to do the avodah, brought until that point are kosher, even though he is considered a halal, even though he is not allowed to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And this din, this rule, is actually learned from this pasuk, Baruch Hashem chelo upeel yadav tirtzeh, afilu halalam shabo tirtzeh. Even a halal, you know, those karbanos are okay, before the point that he knew that he was not allowed to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that both Moshe's bracha for the victory of Yavan and the hechsher of karbanos that are brought by a kohen who finds out he is a pasul is learned from this pasuk in Parshas Vizos HaBracha. So what is the connection between them? There's another place in the Torah which connects Shevet Levi and Malchus Yavan. When Yaakov, at the end of his life, when he blesses his children, he mentions the battle of Shimon and Levi in Shechem. And the pasuk says, Bereishis Memtes, pasuk hey, Shimon v'Levi achim, klei chamas michrosehem. Shimon and Levi are brothers. You know, their weaponry is a stolen craft. And there Rashi comments, what is, on the word michrosehem, what does this word michrosehem mean? Lashon klei zayin. It means weaponry. Hasif belashon yivani makir. And he says that mechoseim is a term which denotes weapons. And in Greek, because in Greek the word for sword is machir. Mechoseim, machir means weaponry. And we need to understand why the weapons of Shimon and Levi are written in the Torah, bilashon yivanis, in Greek, which something which we find is extremely unusual. Sheva Levi, the Chashmonaim, are the ones who are worthy of battling and winning against Yavan. So why is specifically Sheva Levi chosen for this? And and is the fact that they are Anshei Mechama worthy of a blessing, a bracha, or worthy of rebuke, of tochacha? Because on the one hand, when it came to Shechem and they got up and battled against Shechem, Yaakov rebukes them for what they did and the actions they took against Shechem. But when it comes to Malchus Yavan, when it comes to the battle of the Chashmonaim versus the Greeks, Moshe blesses them. And so we need to understand the difference. In order to better understand this, we have to first understand the essence of Yavan and its purpose in the world. Chazal tell us, when we go based on the Pasuk and Bereishis, V'choshech al pnei tahom, that there was darkness in the world. Zeh Malchus Yavan. Darkness, as referred to in Parshas Bereishis, refers to Yavan, refers to Greece. And we need to understand, you know, we really need to understand why, because you would think that the description of darkness, of Choshech, would be more befitting to a primitive nation, right? Not Malchus Yavan. The Greeks were super advanced. They were the pinnacle of human intellect and intelligence. All the developments of philosophy and science in the world seems to stem from Chachmas Yavan. The Greeks brought to the world the wisdom of math and of architecture. They identify beauty and and logic. So then why does the Torah define them as choshech, as darkness? I would think that the term of darkness would be for a more primitive nation who didn't bring all these advances to the world and to mankind. In Judaism, each individual is part of the klal. It's part of a group. It's part of a nation. And each individual is very much tied to and connected to the klal, to the larger group, and not established as simply an entity onto himself. We know we have the concept of Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, that we are each responsible for one another. And therefore, the success of an individual is not just attributed to themselves, but to the larger klal. And similarly, the failure of an individual is not just based on himself, but also the klal, the larger group, holds responsibility for that as well. And Lord Jonathan Sacks writes, "I once had the opportunity to ask the Catholic writer Paul Johnson what had struck him most about Judaism during the long period he spent researching it for his masterly A History of the Jews. He replied in roughly these words, 'There have been in the course of history societies that emphasize the individual, like the secular West today. And there have been others that place weight on the collective, communist Russia, or China, for example. Judaism,' he continued, 'was the most successful example he knew that managed the delicate balance between both, giving equal weights to individual and collective responsibility. Judaism was a religion of strong individuals and strong communities. Thus,' he said, 'was very rare and difficult. This,' he said, 'was very rare and difficult and constituted one of our greatest achievements.' It was a wise and subtle observation. Without knowing it, he had in effect paraphrased Hill's aphorism, 'If I am not for myself, who will be? Individual responsibility. But if I am for myself, what am I? Collective responsibility.'" And this is actually how the Sfas Emes explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hillel in Pirkei Avos says, "Imeinani li mili, ukshani la'atzmi ma'ani. If I am not for myself, who will be?" Each and every person is created for a special and a specific purpose that no one else can fulfill. And so if I don't do it, if I don't step up to task, if I don't do what I am capable of doing, then no one else will do it, because I am unique and I have a unique contribution to make. But kshani la'atzmi, but when I am to myself, and when I am not involved or connected to the klal, to the larger picture, to the larger public, ma'ani, what value do I have? And it is in a similar vein that Rav Chaim Freelander in her Sefer, Siftei Chaim, explains the phrase in Tehillim which we say on Rosh Hashanah. We say, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, together the tribes of Israel. And he writes, Af ki kol shevet miyuchad v'shonef tchuna tal v'tafkido mishar shvatim. Each and every shevet is different and is unique in its tchunos, in its capabilities, and in its job. From each and every shevet, aval hashoni eino siba lepirud ulamachokas beinahem ki amatzarav ashifa mushutefes lekulam v'pnei amachos Hashem yiparach aleihem v'achades otam. But the differences that they each have, and their own talents and their own strengths, are not a reason for pirud, for separation, for machlokas, for disagreement, but rather it's that they work together towards a common goal and towards a common ideal, and therefore it unites them. Because why? It's Hashem's Malchus Shamayim. It's that we work towards to bring the Hashem's Malchus into this world. We work for a common goal, that though we have different strengths and different capabilities and different talents, though we are different, we are very much united in our common vision and in our common goal. Shatafkid hamiyuchal l'chol shevet eino benifrad mitafkid sh'ar shvatim. Because each and every shevet's job is not separate, it's not distinct in that it's not connected to the other tribes. Elohu chilek mehatar matarashel haklal. But each is a piece of the larger puzzle. It's a piece of the larger grouping. And when we take the strengths of Reuven, the strengths of Shimon, the strengths of Levi, etc., together we build the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. וזהו יחד שבטי ישראל. הם אכן שבטים השונים זה מזה, אבל הם צריכים להיות יחד במטרה משותפת של גילוי מלכות שמיים. And this is what the pasuk means, יחד שבטי ישראל. Each and every shevet is individualized. It has its own kohos, its own tchunas hanefesh, its own capabilities and its own strengths. But together, united, they are what we call Yisrael in that they all work towards the revelation of Malchus Shemayim. The Greek culture, however, stands in sharp contrast to this. The Greeks' emphasis on the individual is one of the major cornerstones of Western civilization. Indeed, the spirit of individualism, as defined by the Greeks, is still alive and well in modern American culture and society. The glorification of the human form and human accomplishment defined ancient Greek art, philosophy, literature, and religion. Even their gods were created in the images of humans. The Greek gods had human emotions. They looked like humans, and they behaved more like people than infallible gods. Greek culture sees the individual as the center. His success is his. His honor is his. Each person looks to further his own goals and his own interests. Greek culture lacks the vision of the individual as part of the klal, which in Jewish view has an effect on and is affected by the klal. And this is why Yavan is choshech, is darkness. Where there is darkness, man is completely disconnected from what surrounds him and he's closed off and alone, right? Light is that which connects man to what's around him, which is surrounding. When there's light, a person can see and therefore he can connect to things beyond himself. When I sit in a room and there's darkness, there may be other people around me, but I can't see them. I can't connect to them. I can't connect to the sunset. I can't connect to the beautiful view. I can't connect to the person sitting next to me because I don't see them. I can't see beyond myself. And that's why darkness represents the Greek ideal of the individual, because I can't see anything beyond myself. And the Greeks brought darkness into this world. They created this separation. They used the world for their personal advances, but did not view themselves as part of something greater, which is directed towards a singular purpose. While they were involved in great wisdom of the world and its creations, they completely separated it from the Creator. And it's specifically this very enlightened nation that brought the darkness, because as they advanced in their knowledge and science, man was the central beneficiary, and therefore the divide became greater between man and the general cloud, the public, and the larger purpose and picture. Because as they went more towards one side of science and intellect and philosophy, and they pushed forward the advances of man as the individual, and therefore they separated him that much more from his surroundings and from a larger purpose and from a larger connection to things. And therefore it's precisely this enlightened nation that brought about this extreme darkness. This is exactly what the Greeks said to us. They said, Kisvulochem al Karen Ashur, should write this for yourself on the horn of an ox. She'ein lecha chelek be'elokei Yaakov. You have no portion in the God of Yaakov, right? You have no portion. What does a portion mean? A portion is a piece of a larger picture. A portion means that I have some sort of connection to the other portions, or to the other people who hold those portions, or to the person who put those portions together. And it's all about the individual. And therefore, you have no connection to any portion because it's all about you. There's nothing beyond yourself. And it's based on this that we can understand why Shevet Levi is worthy of battling and winning against the Greeks. The Gemara Nedarim tells us that the Kohanim are Shluchei Didan. They are the representatives of Klal Yisrael. Shevet Levi's whole essence is the greater picture, representing the nation and connecting them to a higher purpose, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what a Kohen does. His job is to connect and represent Bnei Yisrael and to connect them to something higher than them, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, through the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. Shevet Levi has no Nachala. They have no inheritance of their own because they represent the Klal, the Jewish people, and therefore they have no private property. They have no personal interest because their job, their essence is to represent the klal and to connect them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see this most clearly by the Kohen Gadol, who is the pinnacle, the chief of Shevet Levi. We know that he doesn't observe Avelis, mourning for his close relatives, nor does he involve himself in their burial, because his whole purpose is to be a connector and one who unites Klal Yisrael for a higher purpose. Therefore, he doesn't involve himself in acts that are private and only for the individual. The mourning is of his personal family. The burial is of his personal family. But he is not a private individual because his sole purpose is to represent the klal and to connect them to a larger purpose. And it's therefore that a Kohen who was puzzled to do his service in the Beis HaMikdash, as long as he doesn't know that he is pasul, as long as he doesn't know that he's not allowed to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the avoda is kosher. It's okay. Why? Because as long as he doesn't know, he doesn't have this knowledge, he feels a part of the Kohanim, and he feels that he can act as a messenger. But once he knows that he is pasul, once he knows that he is not able to do this work, he separates himself. And he returns to being a private individual. And thus, his service is pasul, it's invalid. But as long as he thinks he's part of the klal, that he represents the klal, that he feels a part of it, his service is kosher. But once he knows that he's no longer capable of it, he becomes a regular private individual. And therefore, he can no longer serve as a representative for the klal. And this topic is learned from the pasuk Beirich Hashem Chelo Pael Yadav Tirtzeh, which also hints to the war of Bnei Levi with the Greeks, because both ideas are really one and the same. You know, when you're looking beyond yourself and connecting to something higher, which is what the struggle with Yavan was, they both ideas come to show that there is representation, there is something beyond yourself, and that's what Levi's struggle was with Yavan, with the individual, with the Choshech. And it's specifically Shevet Levi who are given the Urim V'tumim, which is on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And we know that when we ask a question to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're answered through the Urim V'tumim. It lights up the names of the Shvatim to give an answer to the question. And it's specifically Levi, which represents the Klal and connects them to a higher purpose, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that brings this light, the light of the Urim V'tumim, to Bnei Yisrael. And it's therefore that the Yevanim are called the Kamav and the Sanav, those who stand up against and those who hate, specifically Shevet Levi, because they are the antithesis of what Shevet Levi stands for. Shevet Levi shows that the individual must be directed towards and part of a larger mission. It is for this reason that Bnei Levi, the Hashmonaim, battled against the Greeks. It was not for their personal gain or personal motives, but rather because there was something larger at stake. Kavod Shemayim, the greater purpose was being affected and was being attacked. And therefore, Shevet Levi had to stand up and battle it, because this was who they were. All about connecting us and connecting Klal Yisrael to a larger purpose. And it's precisely for this reason that Yaakov rebuked Shimon and Levi for their battle with Shechem. Yaakov thought that the case of Shechem, the battle with Shechem, was a result of a personal matter, right? It was revenge for what happened to their sister, to Dinah. It was a war for their own purpose, for their own self-respect. How dare you disrespect our sister? How dare you disrespect the house of Yaakov? And therefore, the Torah uses the Greek word, michrosehem, weapons, in their rebuke. Because that was their tochacha. That was the rebuke to Shimon and Levi. Their battle stemmed from the character traits of the Greeks, focusing on themselves and on the individual, their own personal honor, their own personal gain, and that was their mistake. It is therefore based on the nace of the Pach Shemen that the holiday of Hanukkah was established. Hanukkah is not just about the physical victory, but it was based on what they were victorious over. What was it that they won over? The darkness and the culture that Yavan represented, which censors around the individual. And that is represented by the Pach Shemen, by the jug of oil, by the light. It wasn't just a physical battle of the many versus the few, of the weak versus the strong, but rather it was a battle of the light and the darkness. the individual versus the klal, versus the tzibor. And therefore, it's the pach shemen that represents what the holiday is, what we were victorious over. Not just the swords, not just the spears, but rather the light. The light of unity, the light of a larger picture, the light of a higher purpose. Judaism also values the individual, but the individual cannot be the be-all, end-all. He must direct his strengths and his abilities to the klal and ultimately towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this concept is seen in the mitzvah of Chanukah, Hadlakos Neros, when we light the menorah. The obligation, the basic obligation of each and every person is near ish uveso, one menorah per household. A person can fulfill his obligation if someone in the house lights. The person doesn't even need to be in the house. I could be at a wedding and someone could be lighting in my house, and I can be yotze even if I'm not there at the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is for the mitzvah is on the household. Because this is exactly the message of Chanukah. The message of Chanukah is you got to think beyond the individual. It's about being part of something larger and something greater. And therefore, the obligation is not on the individual, but rather it's on the home. Because Chanukah tells me it's not just about me, but it's about what I'm connected to and what higher purpose I live towards. We say, Ashreinu matov chalkenu. How fortunate we are in our lot, in our portion. We're fortunate to have a portion. We're fortunate to be part of something larger. We're fortunate to live towards a greater purpose and to be able to connect and give beyond ourselves. And Chanukah is a time where we remember the great darkness the Greeks brought into the world. And we try to remind ourselves of the power of our light. Chanukah is reminding ourselves to live a life of light, a life of connection and of purpose. To look beyond ourselves and beyond our bodies and our private worlds and see how we can give and how we can direct and how we can be part of something larger than ourselves. Because it's not just about us and our individual strengths and our individual talents, but it's about how we use them, how we direct them, how we connect to those around us, and how we help the world and the greater good and the ultimate purpose of our lives, which is living a life of Yirah Shamayim, directing it towards the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Chanukah is. And hopefully, by tapping into and utilizing our strengths and our talents and directing them towards the greater good, hopefully we'll be able to bring the light of Chanukah, the light of the Geula, and the light of the Beis HaMikdash to our individual lives, to the greater Jewish population, and to the world at large.